Hey, yo, what's poppin'? Welcome back to another episode of the Take a Shot Podcast. It's your boy Dub, a.k.a. Podcast Poppy.
And you already know who it is, Mr. M-A-R-V, single ladies. They should know me.
Ooh. We got something different. It's your exclusive, one of a kind.
Come on, exclusive.
Yes, come on. Well, we got some extra people today.
Hey, though. This is a very special episode.
Say your name. Wait, hold on. Say your name.
I said, you want to say it again?
Say it again.
Exclusive. One of a kind.
What is that?
Your favorite.
What you drinking though?
I'm drinking. You know I like champagne.
Champagne.
And it's you know what? Like tequila? Uh-huh. So I got me a little champagne tequila. But don't look for it because you're not going to get it. Don't look for it.
Because it's exclusive.
Don't ask about it.
That's crazy.
Don't worry about it. It's all me.
Hey, Mark.
Well, this is a very special episode. I can't tell you how excited I am.
Ooh, why so special?
Can y'all see the background?
I can't see.
Ooh, y'all see where we at?
And we got some lovely people with us. My brothers, you already know Tequila Mandala, the only tequila that we drink. You feel me?
Better believe it.
Go ahead and introduce
yourselves, gentlemen.
Come on up.
Don't be scared.
What's up, Pete? Let's give a shout out first. We got another special day today. Is this number 30?
Oh, it's our 30th episode.
We're going to call it the Steph Curry. The Steph Curry episode.
Steph Curry today. I like
the Steph Curry episode.
I like that.
We live.
So I'm Craig, one of the partners of Tequila Mandala.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm Humberto Ibarra, one of the partners and founders of Tequila Mandala.
Thank you guys. We appreciate you guys, man, for joining us today on this very, very special episode. Man.
And thank you guys for tuning in every week. We really appreciate it. You guys already know how the show goes.
Mm-hmm.
And if you don't know, guess what? If you're mad, you take a shot. Everybody should go ahead and have their cups. We're going to start off good this week. This is what we're going to do. We're going to all take a shot together.
Let's take a shot together.
This is a rare occasion.
Hey.
Cheers to everybody over here.
Cheers.
Everybody out there, go ahead and get your shots together.
Get your shots up, everybody.
It's like water.
Smooth as a baby's body.
Okay, so usually this is how we do it. I'm going to go straight like this. Nicole. What made you mad this week?
You know, it didn't make me mad, but I was a little frustrated.
Okay.
With myself.
You should have said flustered.
A little flustered.
Okay.
I was a little, you know, up and ruffled my feathers a little bit.
Okay, what
you were perturbed.
I was a little perturbed.
There you go.
Had a little oral ache going on. Ooh. I just knew that I had like... I just knew I had like a $1,200 bill coming my way. Mm-hmm. I went to the dentist 3 times. Like, yo, it's something wrong. You got to fix this shit. And they kept turning me away. Aww. I went again today. Like, yo, it's something wrong.
And what was it?
She was like, girl, them teeth shifting, them braces. Go home.
Nicole, I told you.
I called my friend, like, something is not right.
Something ain't right.
It's them braces. Once they start shifting, boy, oh boy. You going to feel it.
That shit had me so bothered. Oh my god! All week I'm like, I don't got time for it.
That's funny.
What about you, Doug?
Man, I was pissed.
I want to know why you being violent.
No, let me tell you why I was being violent this particular day. Now, you know I'm doing my little keto thing, right? Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Your boy trying to drop this little weight.
Ooh.
I was starving at work. I was on my phone, unconsciously ordering Chick-fil-A and about to pay for it. And I was like, I can't eat none of this shit.
None of it.
I was literally about to pay.
What made you violent is the fact that you couldn't eat what you wanted. No.
I made my order on DoorDash. I was at work.
What did you order?
You know, I ordered the number one deluxe.
I don't know the menu. That's him.
See, look, hey, you want ketosis? You gotta get that. Ooh, them grill nuggets.
The grill nuggets,
The
grill nuggets. No, but I ended up getting the grill nuggets, but I wanted a burger. My mind was telling me burger, you know what I'm saying? But then when I was getting ready to pay, I was like, man, I'm tripping.
So that made you violent?
I was violent for the rest of the day.
So what did you do?
Because my mind was set on Chick-fil-A.
So what did you do that was violent?
What did I do?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, you don't want to know what I did.
We want to know what you did.
The people want to know.
I ordered the grilled nuggets. I ordered like 12 of them. I was like, man, I need 12 piece.
Of course. They're this big.
Yeah.
They're tiny.
Hey, I need a 12.
I'm talking about just the box of 12.
Yeah, the box of 12, like, yeah. I was like, man, no, I need a 12 piece. I need a 12 piece.
Didn't do nothing for you.
Chick-fil-A is okay though. If you lump all the fast food, bad food for you, unhealthy stuff.
Yeah, Chick-fil-A.
Chick-fil-A is the healthiest of the unhealthy.
Absolutely, yeah, that's true.
So I'm gonna give you something for that.
Okay, cool.
I think you're all right. It's the healthy of the unhealthy.
Yeah, for sure. That made me feel good.
Have you done? I'm trying to figure out what we went wrong yet.
Yeah, what did you do wrong?
I was mad. I was hungry. I was starving at work.
So you started being hangry towards everybody.
I was hangry towards everybody, and I was even more hangry when I couldn't order what I wanted to order.
So then I was like, Derek, can you look at this paperwork? No, I ain't doing that. No,
I wasn't doing nothing.
Get away from my desk.
Get away from me. Close my door. Mar, what made you mad, bro?
I was gonna pass it on.
Yeah, pass it on.
Come back down this.
Oh yeah.
Because you know this one over here, he be mad.
Oh yeah, he be mad, man.
I wasn't ready for all this. I'm usually known as like a happy-go-lucky. I don't usually get mad.
Nothing made you mad this week.
But on the spot, I'm gonna go with email etiquette. I got a big problem with emailing, and you get groups and reply alls with the wrong response, and it's like,
I hate those.
That drives me nuts. I'm gonna go with that one. That's gonna make me mad. Made me mad this week.
For me, it was kind of the same thing. My biggest pet peeve is like, I don't care how busy you are, it's not that hard to reply to a text, bro.
Yeah.
Bro,
like, I talk to people that run 3-4 companies and they're good at replying, and then you talk to other people that own one business, they're like, oh, I'm busy, bro.
No, you're not.
Shut the fuck up. You're not that busy.
You're not that busy.
Like, that's you're not real. That busy.
Hey, I agree.
So it goes in line kind of like with the email etiquette. It's just text. It's not that hard to reply. Like, everybody gets busy. But you can reply busy, hit you up later, or something simple.
Yeah.
But then just don't go silent for days.
They even got auto-reply. You can auto-reply if you don't want to type.
If you're that important.
I'm going to put y'all on auto-reply.
Get an auto-reply.
Exactly. Hey, be right back. Hit you later. Or can I call you back? Or can
Do
it like that. Don't
just go
read
silent.
Don't read it. Don't respond.
Yeah.
What? I have that off on my phone. Right. I don't understand why people do that shit. Like,
hey,
why do you even have that?
Yeah.
Like, I hate it.
Y'all want to piss me off? Do that. Go ahead. Let me read
your
red.
Your red receipts on.
Exactly, and I read them and I respond.
So 90. You didn't reply to her today. I heard that.
Okay. Apparently, sometimes.
No, I didn't reply to her. I called her. She didn't respond. I mean, she didn't answer my phone.
So you were being petty.
So then she called me and I didn't respond. So it was just
because
like,
you were being petty.
No, I was busy. I was trying to get everything together for Tequila and Dollar Day.
Because he was busy.
You
were too busy.
I think we all have a busy day.
But what pissed me off, and I guarantee you, everyone in here, everybody at home has done this.
Talk about
it. I was somewhere. About to go buy some stuff. Guess what? I had to go to the gas station because the car was running on E. Left my wallet at home.
Well, you do that on the regular.
But guess what? I did it today. I left my wallet. But it's a such thing as Apple Pay. Thank God for Apple Pay. Because I would have been assed out.
Man. You was on EE? You was behind the EE?
Looking like I had chaps on. Assed out. I was on EE.
You
do
this too much. Between
too much stuff
that wallet and those keys, I don't know what you
My keys won't come with me because I need them to get in the car.
Marv, we need to get you one of those chains that hook from your belt buckle.
Hey, I used to have those in high school.
That's what he needs.
What were those guys called in high school? They were
punk rebels.
The rebels. We're going to make you a rebel.
I'll do it. Put me some little wires.
You're like, it's not a fashion statement. I just forget my wallet all the time.
You forget it if it's not with you.
It's so small.
And I feel like you look at it when you walk out the house and then still walk out the house without it is what I don't understand.
It happens to the best of us. If you never left your wallet? Because I could have sworn that we went somewhere and you didn't have your wallet.
Here they go. Here they go.
But anyways, we're not going to get into that. You know what?
Let's go, Marv. It's on you. Mm. It's on you, boy.
So guys, it's would you rather time. So I'm going to say something. Guess what? And it's either you would rather do this or take a shot. So, would you rather go 2 years without sex, meaning no fellatio, no sexual intercourse,
no
hanky
panky,
no hanky panky, no none of that?
Why'd you?
Or you got to smell it, make sure it's fresh.
You got a DJ a little bit to smell it.
DJ,
you don't know that already.
Would you rather go 2 years without anything or take a shot of this fine Mandala tequila?
Oh, well, I'm shit, we all take
a shot. I mean, if I had to, I could.
Oh, God. Take a shot. Take a shot with your lying ass. Full of shit.
That was too easy. I thought it was going to be like pet a dog or take a shot. Like,
no, but you're going to be pet a dog. You're like, yeah, I would.
Pet a dog. No, I'll take a shot.
Yeah, I'm definitely taking a shot on that.
You wouldn't go 2 years?
2 weeks.
I wouldn't want to go 2 days, but
okay. Yeah.
2 days be hectic. Some time.
Single you.
Single me?
You wouldn't go 2 years?
Absolutely. Still, no.
Single him should be even
It was even worse. It was even worse.
Excuse me.
So you would like to go 2 years? Nicole, no vibrator either. No sexual intercourse.
No.
No vibrator, no.
You said it like I just got on. Like I just.
Nicole, you already
asked. You got all the tools.
So I could imagine. I could imagine if you wasn't getting the brakes beat, you would be sitting here upset.
Mm.
Whoa. I'm the same that I was.
Nicole.
That's what she said.
Nicole act like that. She know good as well. She wasn't going ahead and having a good time.
Mm-hmm.
Mysteriously. You would be sitting here like this, upset. It will be like you on that time of the month every day.
So yeah.
Go ahead, Nikki. Ladies first.
Ladies first.
We're gonna come over here and offer me because you see how interviews go on me, and they're gonna talk about my life. I have a question for you guys. What is one of the biggest misconceptions of your profession? So like, you guys have to. Do if people think like, oh, because you guys have tequila, that's all you drink, or you guys are like pure alcoholics because. We know he's one, but what about
for,
you guys?
Like, for me personally, the biggest misconception, the people that actually know me, like, I don't really drink. Like, I don't usually, actually, I don't drink very much. Right. But if I'm going to drink, I'm going to drink tequila neat, whether it's mine or any other brand that I enjoy. But when I do drink, it's usually Mandala or something else I enjoy. The other biggest misconception is, what do you think?
Oh, that's easy.
Creating a brand? No.
It goes in line with you with that we're drinking all the time, but everyone says, oh, you got the best job ever. And not to say it's not, it's amazing. I mean, look at this right here. Like, this is incredible.
Yeah, right.
This is why we do what we do.
Sure.
But it's still a job. We're still crunching numbers. We're still responding to emails. We're still
dealing with Mark. And I mean, production, you laugh because production is the biggest headache for us right now, right?
Yeah.
But dealing with production, the marketing, there's so many angles to it. It is fun, but it's a, like, straight up cutthroat industry.
It's we
think about it. There's 4,000 brands of tequila. Mm-hmm. We're just one of many, you know.
Right. But so you know, it's crazy. Though. You're the top three.
The top,
but
though.
You're not
easy.
Even three.
Easy.
You might not even be two.
Yeah,
you might be honest with you.
And that's no, and we ain't put no gas on that.
And everybody that know me out there,
I'll
put it on everyone.
We literally, I promise you, this is what we drink.
We could take the, y'all know where y'all winner is at. It's right here in front of me. I'm just saying. Here goes your ticket right here. This is brunch ready.
What about you, Doug?
What's that?
No question.
So if you had a chance to start over, start your career over, what would you do differently?
So my background, I've been lucky enough to work with this guy, not to pump him up too much.
Pump him up a little
pump
bit.
Pump him up a little bit. He deserves it.
Yeah,
no, so my background is more real estate and investing, and I've only had the honor of doing this for just about 3 years now.
Mm-hmm.
So I've kind of rode under his wings and learned a lot from him. He's got 15, 20 years experience in the spirits industry.
Oh.
So I don't know that I'd necessarily do anything different. I feel very privileged that I'm able to do what I enjoy. So this is more, I guess, of a passion as opposed to, it's still a job, but definitely I appreciate the opportunity that I've been given just to be able to work with the brand. It's a great brand. We got a good team for sure.
That's dope.
I got a question for you guys. So what made y'all start with tequila? Like, what made you guys join this industry and decide, like, you know what? Did you guys go to school for this? How did that come?
Well, I studied marketing.
Mm-hmm. What school?
Cal State Long Beach.
Okay.
But I know, seriously. I told you that story, right?
Tell the story. Come on, we want to hear.
I was going to school while working full time for T-Mobile. I worked for T-Mobile before this for almost 11 years.
Okay. Oh, damn.
So that was my background, and I was going to school full time and working full time. So I was going to Cal State Long Beach. I was school, work, homework, and then someone asked me one day at I don't know if it was at an event or something. They're like, "Oh, where do you go to school?" And I was like, "Oh, Cal State Long Beach." They're like, "Oh, 49ers." And I'm like, "What?" They're like, "49ers, you go to Cal State Long Beach." Oh, shit, that's our mascot? He's like, "Yes, that's your mascot." But I was just always in and out. But
team?
I know.
Yeah, 49ers?
Right.
Anyways, but
That's a cuss word around here, right?
Yeah.
That may as well be. Like, that's as bad as it gets right
Cowboy
there.
Nation.
That's worse than Lucifer himself around these parts around here.
Sure is.
But back to answer your question, so I studied marketing, but I worked for T-Mobile in the cell phone industry for 11 years. I left, and when I was going to take a year off, my cousin, who's been a lawyer in Mexico for a little bit over 25 years, he actually represented several distilleries, and he invited me to start a new project, which was importing brands for other people, tequila, mezcal. We did that for like 4 years, but got a little burnt out because people weren't spending money to market their brand. So you were doing all the legwork, but nothing was happening because they didn't want to market it. And like we tell anybody, at the end of the day, you could have fucking God's cure to cancer, but if you don't market it, nobody's going to know about it.
Yeah, true. That's true.
So we started developing the brand, and then in the process of that, a longtime friend, Joel, kept nagging at us, "Hey, I have this really good tequila, like, I have an idea, like, let's collaborate." And that's kind of how Mandala was born, and we started developing the brand in the beginning of 2015, and we launched it November 16th of 2016.
Fire.
So I kind of came into this industry by opportunity because of my cousin, who's actually our partner, but I've been doing this for a cool minute after I left T-Mobile.
That's dope. That's dope.
And how you guys know each other?
Craig and I, through his brother. So probably 2 years in, when we started getting the product into the market and people were starting to like it, Kirk, his brother, Kirk Cartosian, showed up to his restaurant.
Shout out to Kirk, by the way.
Shout out to Kirk. I got something for you, too.
I'm going
to
throw it in the plug. I'm going to plug him in. I went to his restaurant, Gaucho Grill in Downey, West Covina, and Buena Park.
Yes, sir.
Gaucho Grill.
So I went to the Downey one, and they went from ordering bottle at a time to ordering by cases.
Damn.
My brother usually did the deliveries, and that day he was doing something else in West LA delivering for us. And I show up with cases, and I'm like, damn, they're ordering a lot now. And I walk in, and they cut a check, and then Kirk starts screaming from across the restaurant, "Hey, there's the Mandala guy." He was fucking lit. I was like, "There's the Mandala guy." And I'm like, "Oh, fuck." And he was with like 20 people. Come here. And he introduced me, and he's loud as it is, but then he was drunk.
Oh, shit.
So it just amplified everything. He's like, "Hey, everybody, there's a fucking Mandala guy." Just hyping it up.
Crazy.
And I just got like really uncomfortable, and he's like, "Hey, let me talk to you." He's like, "I love your fucking brand. I think you guys are doing things right. I think you could be the next big thing.
Yeah.
I want to invest." And I look at him, and I'm like, "Look, if you're serious, call me tomorrow at 12 when you're not drunk." And he starts laughing. He's like, "All right." I gave him my card. He fucking literally called me at 12 the next day. He's like, "Hey, I was serious. You ready?" And we just started talking to his partners. We started talking. We brought numbers to the table. And then the rest is history. It's been, what, two and a half years since he came in as a partner, and Craig, and grinding at it. I mean, we do the day-to-day stuff along with, I think you guys met Heidi.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
We met Heidi.
She's a boss. She cuts Heidi's the checks.
Shout out to Heidi.
Shout out to Heidi.
But yeah, we've been at it for 2.5 years now and just crunching away. Originally just in Southern California, now we're in like 4 or 5 states.
Dope.
And then now talking to bigger distributors, but it's a fucking grind.
Yes.
We love it. It doesn't feel like work because we love what we do. We're truly passionate about the brand, the industry, the marketing of it. It's long fucking days. It's a roller coaster. And when people ask you what is it like to own your own business, and like the easiest way to describe it is a fucking roller coaster. There's more downs than ups, and it's just 1 minute you're up, the next minute you're down. But we love it. And
we had a big roller coaster today. We got an email. We won't say the name, but a national retailer. And they send an email, and they send like 200 stores, and it's like an approval list. And we're going, what? Yes. We're national. And then we emailed her some clarification. She's like, no, that was the wrong list. It's this other list.
That's cold.
It's still 25. You're on 25.
That's cool.
25.
That's
cool. All right,
we'll take it. We'll take it.
Yeah.
Wait, I got a question, which I'm pretty sure everybody want to know, is the name. How did we get this name?
The name was Joel's very, Joel, our partner and producer. He's the one that created the magic in that bottle. He's very, I don't know, how can you say it, like spiritual, Illuminati, like all kinds of shit. Like it's funny, but he's really into that. And mandala, the word, is a Hindu word. And it means
somebody
a perfect circle,
just
unity, togetherness. Like there's a lot of good behind it.
Yeah.
He was really sold on that. And honestly, to register a name with the people that control tequila, it's bitch. Mm. And the other names we had available, like I like to say in Spanish, they're too paisa. Like it was just too Mexican. It wasn't gonna be. And I get tequila's 100% Mexican, but it was just gonna be too hard to pronounce. Right. And we love what mandala stood for. And that's kind of how we started sketching ideas for the bottle. The first mock-up he sent me was fucking ugly. And it turned into a fight. I told him straight up, like, this is fucking ugly. Like, I can't sell this.
Yeah.
And so him, our graphic designer who we've worked for 10 years, I'll plug him in. Somos Deck, they're based out of Mexico. He does a lot of stuff with us. We started sketching stuff, and then he did a render for us, and Joel brought it to life, and that's how that ceramic bottle was born. But that's it ties into the name. That's why it's round. That's why it has the mandalas. Mm-hmm. But it has a lot to do with what Joel believes in and what he's all about.
That's dope.
That's kind of how the name was born.
Best bottle in the game.
I think so.
It's not even close.
No, I think it's one of the best.
Can you tell us like what one of the bottles like that, what that one represents? Well, did you tell me something about the star, the circle, and this one right here?
The original.
The original one is just that. But it's not necessarily a star, it's a mandala. And that's what a mandala represents. Several things in different religions and different ethnicities, but it's a perfect circle, unity, 360. That's really it, and that's why you see it a bunch of times. The bottle itself is round, and then you see all the mandalas all over the bottle itself.
That's dope.
So someone asks right here, my uncle actually, shout out to Unc, he asks, what makes your brand different from the others? Is it the plant?
The quality.
Quality.
Everything's quality. Joel's family owns agave, which is what you use to produce tequila, and it all starts from that. The reality is you have to have a good agave, and then you have to make a really good blanco in order for you to have a good repo, good añejo, good extra añejo. If you have a shitty blanco, you have a shitty everything else. There's nothing that the barrel is gonna mask. If it's shit, it's shit. So
blanco is the base.
Blanco is the base for everything else. If your blanco is good and you pick the right barrels, you should be able to create a good repo, añejo, extra añejo.
That's dope.
But it all starts with the agave. That's really what it makes us different. One is the quality, and then two, the uniqueness of our bottle. Hand painted, they're completely handcrafted. One bottle from beginning to end, 4 days to make. So.
There you have it, people.
Hey,
there you have it.
It's a nice little history.
It's a great history. I remember he told us. Remember he taught us how to smell tequila.
How to smell it.
Do you remember?
Yes. Yes. But I want him to explain to everybody else the same way he explained to me. So when you guys open your tequila tasting for all my friends out there, you can tell them how to tell a good tequila from a whack one.
So I learned this from somebody else.
Okay.
I'm going to plug him in too.
Plug him.
Mike Morales from Tequila Aficionado, good guy, loves anything agave spirits, and the perfect glassware matters a lot. Obviously, if you use a shot glass, you condense all the aromas and the flavors. Now, if you do something like a cognac glass, you let it breathe a little bit more. Mm-hmm. You let it sit a little bit. You give it a little swirl.
Swirl that thing up.
Get your little swirl.
And then swirl.
Get your little swirl going.
And then just kind of, so what it does, everybody's nose is different. So one nostril is going to give you all the alcohol,
mm-hmm.
and the other one's going to give you all the flavors, like the notes, like the caramels, the vanillas, the raisins.
Mm-hmm.
But everybody's nostrils going to be different.
Swirl your drinks, everybody. Swirl them.
Hey, go ahead and smell that Jose Cuervo y'all drinking. smell that Patron. And y'all go.
Stop,
bro.
I'm sorry, but I'm just being honest. I'm being honest.
Or come on down.
Yeah.
Because I'm going to be honest with them. What did, all jokes aside, what did you guys give me today? $9 million. What was the other one?
Lobos.
And you said what? It's all about the barrel and everything. And I remember we was talking about this stuff before it came out. The last time I came here, you guys were telling me like, okay, this is going to be LeBron's tequila. It's going to be the best tequila in the world. I actually, hands down, like that. And this is what? Añejo, right?
This one's Añejo.
Añejo. Over their extra Añejo. And you said they had the best barrels and everything else. So it's just like,
mm-hmm.
it's crazy. This tequila is probably, like I said, hands down, probably the best tequila I ever had. And I wouldn't gas nobody up, period.
Man, I put everybody on it. Everybody. That's all I drink. So look, we about to get to the shits, guys.
Uh-oh.
We about to get to the shits. A little bit. Just a little bit, then we gonna take you guys a little higher, all right? So we gonna take it easy on you guys this first one.
Don't take it easy.
So how difficult is it to start a business and still maintain a social life, whether it's a relationship, you're dating somebody, or marriage? How difficult is that transition?
You wanna take that? I'll take that. So we're both married, so I think, you know, we it's like, I think back to the roller coaster, a lot of ups and downs, but I think having that wife at home, and not just tequila, any business, you know, we're all busy, but if you get home and you had a rough day and they feed off that energy in a negative way and they don't support you, then that to me is that's a tough relationship. And that's not like just a spouse, a friend, but it's they're not supporting you. So I've been very blessed with my wife. You know, the few days she could tell, I don't have to say a word. I walk in the door, she looks right at me. She's RC, like, oh, bad day. She's like, come over here. I'm going to make something special for dinner. Whatever it is, it could be the smallest thing. I'm like, I forget it. I'm good. Let's move on.
Right.
And so the support is important in anything, not mm-hmm. just what we do, but you know, everybody, big, small, doesn't matter. It's all, support is everything in a relationship to me, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, spouses, kids, it's not easy. I mean, especially when we first started Mandala, when it's always a grind, but when you first start, the biggest grind is long days, long hours with opening new accounts. For a new product that nobody knows.
Yeah.
I mean, when this stuff got here, I was in the office probably till midnight. Nobody wanted to buy anything.
He's going to cry right now.
No, like, he's a little emotional because I was in the office and
don't
I was
look.
Sitting there.
Look away.
No, I was
don't
sitting
look at
there
a grown man cry. He's like,
my
he might cry.
My wife was like,
here he goes.
Where are you?
Yeah.
And I'm like, I'm at the office, like, nobody wants to buy shit from me. It's saying too expensive, nobody knows the brand.
Yeah.
So at first, it's a fucking grind, dude. Like, it took us forever to open up the market for the brand. And it wasn't easy. And that night, he laughs, but I was fucking crying. I was just like, dude, I just put up my money. Like,
yeah.
What the fuck's gonna happen, you know? Like, I was flipping out. And, but it was a grind. Like, people like his brother and other people, once they tried it, they're like, oh my God, this is fucking good.
Yeah.
So it was just building from that and just opening the right accounts. But luckily I had the support at home where like, yeah, I was grinding, but the wife and the kids, like they knew like what I was doing, you know? They knew that I was putting in the work and I came home and I could eat or my clothes were washed. Something as, like he said, something as simple as that. Just the other day we had an 18 hour day. We're supposed to get home at 9. We didn't get home till like 1.
Yeah.
It was just a long fucking day, and like if you don't have a partner or a significant other or whatever that supports that, because I mean my wife, hit him with a bitch about it and be like, where the fuck are you? Like, yeah. Why the fuck aren't you here? You're bring fucking your around. Like,
yeah.
But they see the bigger picture. And if you don't have somebody that trusts you and sees the bigger picture and what you're trying to do, like, it's hard. It's really fucking hard. And you need it for moral support, too, because it ain't fucking easy.
Yeah.
It's a grind. No matter how good your brand is, it's a fucking grind.
Hell yeah.
Yeah.
You just didn't stop, though.
Exactly.
You didn't stop. That's the most important thing. Don't stop.
Yep.
I feel that.
Someone said, what is the startup cost? I'm trying to start my own tequila company.
The whole company?
What?
Jesus Christ.
Just give him a number.
Let me take that one. You might want to play out because he would know more for sure, but I've learned my
give
best
a ball
shot.
Ball.
No, that's actually an easy question. To start, it's a loaded question, though. To start a company, really, probably not much. But to do anything with it...
Yeah.
I'm going to say what I always tell people. A part-time employee at McDonald's could create a tequila brand. That's facts.
Yeah.
But to do anything with it, you need some fucking money, dude. Because you got to think about it. You're competing with 4,000 brands. And if of those 4,000 brands, you have LeBron James that has an amazing platform. You have The Rock, who has over 200 million followers.
Yeah.
And then you have Casamigos that sold in 5 years for $1.3 billion because of George Clooney, Randy Gerber. And then you have the Patrons. You have the Jose Cuervos that have... Tons of money. Yeah, all the big dogs. So to even be a little relevant, you need money. You gotta be able to market your brand. You're gonna need samples. So the reality is anybody can make a brand.
Mm-hmm.
You could be working part-time at McDonald's and you could create your brand. Are you really gonna do anything with it? I don't know. Like, it takes a lot of money to market a brand and infiltrate the market. So is it possible? Yeah. It's just not fucking easy.
Yes. What about this one theory that they say? It's all on who you know. Let's say you don't have a lot of money, but you have those connections. Maybe you have those celebrities.
Investing.
You have everything else.
Like investing.
You still need the money, though. I'm gonna give you, because like Kirk and Craig, they know a lot of people. They have a lot of connections, right?
Yes.
What happens when the minute your volume starts picking up, it's expensive to make this shit. Like, super expensive. And right now, with so much demand in tequila, the prices are only going up.
Mm-hmm.
So think about it. Right now, like when we first launched, it took me 8 months to sell 2.5 pallets.
Damn.
Right now.
So how many is in a pallet?
About 70 cases, 4 bottles to case. Mm-hmm. Right now, if I get a container with 24 pallets, it's gone in an hour.
Damn.
So just think about being able to have 700 cases to having thousands of cases. So you need money to produce.
That makes sense.
So to answer the question,
anybody can do it. That's a fact. But you're going to need money.
Millions.
For sure you're going to need
millions.
Millions.
Yeah.
Can we say
it? I'll leave it at millions.
Leave it right there. Marvin,
all right, so look, this is for everybody. It's not just going to be directly towards you.
It's going to be towards everybody.
Yes. So basically, I feel like most people have to go through something. And when they go through something, it either motivates them or it breaks them, right? So what is something that actually motivated you to become what you guys are today?
Ooh. That's a loaded question, too. That's good, though.
Damn, that's a good one.
Nick, you got something?
I'll start off.
Go ahead.
Go ahead.
Okay, so what motivated me? I'm gonna start young. So when my dad passed away, right, I didn't take school seriously. I didn't care about a whole lot of stuff. I just wanted to have fun. But once that happened, that made me take school seriously. And then I had to look out after my mom because I didn't have no dad. So I had 2 jobs and I went to school full time. So it changed everything. She was like, are you serious? Like, you ready for all this? That motivated me to change my whole life. So it's like a blessing in disguise, I would say.
I think mine's almost the same. Not so much. I still have both parents. But just watching, you know, you watch your older cousins or siblings or whoever. You watch how they life go. Mm-hmm. And I'm the baby on both sides of my family. So I have this nice time of watching everybody struggle of, okay, maybe I don't want to do that. Don't want to do this. Or if I make sure I keep this in line, I'll be okay. Mm-hmm. So that was the road I took. I'm gonna make sure to always keep financial stability at some way, somehow. I'm going to work, but I'm also going to have something on the side just in case work doesn't pan out because, you know, we went into a little iffy situation before where people got cut back with hours, where luckily I had a fallback where my lifestyle didn't change. But that wasn't the same for everybody else. So that was like an open eye to me that, no, this life is for real. I don't depend on nobody else. I have to be able to hold this down, just me. So
I like that.
Shout out to y'all cousins.
Shout out to y'all cousins for fucking up.
Yeah.
What about you, Dub?
Shoot, man. What motivated me? Mine is kind of similar to y'all's, but I come from a single parent household, and I was the oldest. I'm the oldest. Me and my sister, and I really didn't have no wiggle room for mistakes, you know, so I had to get it out the mud early. Like, I came right out of high school grinding, so I think my whole motivation was there was no other alternative. It was, you either gonna succeed or
sink or swim.
It was a sink or swim. It was always gonna be like that, and I always lived my life that way. It's either gonna, I'd rather put everything on my shoulders because I know I can do it. I can't depend on nobody else to do it, because at the end of the day, if you mess up, I can't go back to my family and say, oh, I didn't succeed because so-and-so didn't do what they're supposed to do. Now, if I'm a fail, I'm a fail.
It's going to be because of me.
It's going to be because of me. So that's how I always live my life.
Which we all fail, because I have failed many a times. Absolutely. But I do have a great support system for the times that I did fail. So they pick me up,
yeah.
Laura, listen, and mama's like a drizzle. So she gonna pick you up, and she gonna tell you where you fucked up as she picking you
for
up.
Sure.
Like,
but
listen.
Do you understand that everything that you lose is just a learning state? It's never a loss.
I don't take anything as a loss, and I don't feel like anything is like...
Losses are wins.
Yeah.
You
learn from lessons. Lesson learned.
It's just lessons.
You learn from. So now I know this go around, we ain't gonna go that way. Where's the last time you tried that?
I feel like I lost so much to where I feel like I can necessarily handle anything. I can go through anything.
If we talk about losses, we gonna need a little more drink up here.
Yeah.
We ain't gonna talk about
it. We
gonna go straight to Craig.
That's a good one. I think I like that one. I think I'm not big on cliches, but learning from your mistakes to me is that's the motive. I mean, to learn from, you know, whatever your downfalls are, you fall down, you got to get up, and I think that's a motivation, because you realize that where you fucked up and where you actually want to be, and why that, what decision you made didn't get you there the first time. So probably just learning from mistakes.
Yeah.
And the haters. haters always motivate me.
Haters,
listen,
make
you
great.
You always think about a hater when then you fail and they be like, ah, oh, man, you knew that wasn't gonna work. Like, what?
Right.
That's not what you're supposed to say.
Oh, man, you have no idea. Oh, man.
We've been.
No, getting started. Mine's a little different. So mine, like, not to get all fucking deep, but
get deep with it.
Go ahead. Do it.
I got. So I grew up in the hood, and I was always a little different. Like, I liked hip hop because it was what I was around.
Right.
But everybody was listening to gangster rap. I was listening to Queen. Fucking mm-hmm. Tom Petty and the Heartbreakers.
Mm-hmm.
So to my friends, and then my cousins, I'm not gonna name any names. Mm-hmm. Like, it was, I was just different. So I got bullied a lot growing up. A lot. So I kind of spent a lot of time alone, and I saw a lot of, like, my dad had his own business, my uncles had their own business, and they were all, like, not millionaires, but they were successful. They were good, you know? And I think my first grind to me was selling Mexican candy back in the day when you couldn't find it anywhere here.
Ooh.
Like, you couldn't find Mexican candy anywhere here.
Really?
We used to spend a lot of time in TJ, like, to go visit my aunt or whatever, and I'd bring candy back. And I would be in Lincoln Elementary in Lynwood, eating my candy during lunch, and my friends would be like, what the fuck, where'd you get that?
I'd be like,
oh, I'll sell you some.
Hell yeah.
And it just kind of, like, turned into something, and that just, on top of the bullying and tired of all the bullshit with, like, people, it just, and then selling candy and just kind of seeing, like, it built something inside me. It just gave me this drive, like.
You became the plug.
Yeah, pretty much. It wasn't shoes, but it was candy that was
and
hard
now
to
look
get.
At you with a plug.
The plug?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now look at this.
Dude, and the crazy part, when we launched the brand, I never forget, we were at an event at the Coliseum. Not the Coliseum. What is it called? The Convention Center in L.A. by the Staples Center. And it was my cousin and me. We had a booth. We paid like $1,000. My cousin was like, it's too much money, but let's see where it goes. I remember this man told us, first time we're pouring mandala, he comes up to us. Oh, is this your brand? Oh, yeah, it's our brand. We just started selling it in the States a couple months. He goes, good luck. Mm. And my cousin was like, huh? Why? He's like, won't work. Only the big guys make it. That was 4 years ago.
Let's find that guy.
I know. I would love to see that guy again.
Hey, guy. Look at us now.
With the hat on. We're on Take a Shot podcast. We're something
Give
now.
Give him the finger like this.
That's real.
But I think for me, that's what built me. Like, what I grew, I took it as, instead of breaking down and being like the victim, I just kind of built from it and it made me stronger.
Right.
And with the business, we've been through a bunch. I mean, we have stories that we've been through in the business of a bunch of bullshit, but we just fucking grind and we go at it. Don't stop. Don't look back. Learn from your mistakes. When you fuck up, use that as a learning experience and then keep going.
Dope. I like that.
I like that. I'm here for it.
All right, let's get to it. Let's dig a little deeper.
Let's
Mark.
Go deep. Go ahead. Pause.
You going deep?
No, you going deep. Pause.
I go deep. Whatever. I want this question. I'm going to the fellas answer this. We're going to start here, and then we're going to work our way
down.
It
started with me on last time. Let's start with over there. How about let's start all the way over there.
Okay, we're going to start with you.
Uh-oh.
Now, we understand that you guys are, we have a line of, married, and then us two.
Let's say the single for last.
We're going to sing us for last.
Let's get it.
So, prior to married life, before, sorry wives, we love you. No disrespect. Have you guys ever stayed in a situation that you know wasn't good for you, but you stayed because it was convenient 3 years. Comfortable?
Three before my wife now? Uh-huh. Yeah, 3 years.
Oh, I know she made
you
fun
knew it wasn't gonna work. You was just there.
No, it's just I literally knew the first year in. There was a lot of things that were happening, and I was just like, yeah, she's not that into me. But I stayed there because
it worked.
I was comfortable, and it worked. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But after that relationship, when I went south, and I finally I didn't kick her to the curb. I got kicked to the curb. But anyways, when that happened, I stayed single for probably 3-4 years. Mm-hmm. And then after that, that's when I met my wife. Mm-hmm. But
tell these fellas that it's okay to stay single.
It's actually,
because I feel like the fellas don't understand that.
I think I found, I don't think I know myself as well as I should, but I think in those 4 years that I was single, I kind of figured what I like versus... I always found myself trying to please the other person versus 50-50.
Yeah.
Because that's the way it should be.
So you was empty by the end of the relationship.
Super empty.
Yeah.
I was running on fumes.
It'd be like that.
Yep, for sure. But yeah, it was just convenient. The sex was good.
That's what I was waiting on.
This is why we had a conversation maybe 2-3 weeks ago, and they were saying you can't stop sex with your with your partner to be together. And I said yes, because that will keep you longer. So I'm a person that if I feel like we're rocking, I'm gonna stop it, because that's prolonging longer than I need to be. So cut this out, then I can get away a little quicker.
We're not cutting out no sex.
You need to.
We can be arguing for days.
You need to. If you know things is not working, it's a little rocky, or you shouldn't be here, and deep in your gut, you know you should not be here.
But like I told you before,
don't let that hold you on.
Sometimes sex be the gate, be the door to those good conversations that you can have. It be
like that. It's not. It do. It's just holding you on somewhere you do not need to be.
Don't think so. Hey, I don't think so.
Sometimes you shoot and you gotta empty the clip.
You gotta empty the clip.
You gotta empty the
listen here, boy.
And you might change the magazine.
You got one wrong night away from emptying the clip somewhere wrong, so you better stop.
But you know what though? Let me ask, how old are you, Mark?
33.
I'm 40. So
yeah.
Things
change.
Okay,
so at 33.
We keep in mind, this relationship was when I was super young. I was 19. So,
That's cool.
I think as you get older, you start maturing, you start realizing more things, and later on, it's going to sound dumb. Probably a lot of guys going to think I'm full of it, but it's not always about sex. At least not for me.
Of course not. At 19, it is.
And I told my nephew that too, because he just went through a breakup. I'm like, bro, you're fucking 18, bro. Who cares?
Time out like this. You said it's not all about sex. But guess what? If the sex is whack, you're not staying. If the sex is whack,
you ain't go. You leaving.
You are not staying.
She can have everything else.
So even if you mad in love with her,
if the sex is whack, well, hold on. I have a question for you. I'm gonna start over there. We'll go back to this one. If the sex is whack, are you staying, sir? This one worked though. Correct?
But oh yeah.
You already know I ain't.
Nicole, wait. Talk about if the sex is whack. Are you staying?
First of all, take all that neck out of talking to me.
Period.
No.
Exactly. Oh, yeah. If the sex is whack, we are not.
But even if it's good, but we are.
If it's good, you stand a little longer.
I'm staying a little longer. Did I need to be?
Exactly.
You gonna give an extra? Here you go. Look, you about to fall out.
And then that's when I get the phone conversation with you saying you need to go. I don't understand why you doing this. I don't understand. But you don't tell that to the people.
Mm. No, you don't. No.
You don't tell that part of the conversation that you need to go. I don't understand why you blah, 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 blah.
Ooh. But look, here's the thing though, man. Whenever something else is wrong in a relationship, you can kind of talk about it and fix that. If the sex is whack, what you going to do?
You going to try to fix it, right?
You can't fix if she got that desert.
Hey, that's why they make lubricant. You feel me?
You gonna lube it every time?
You gonna have to lube it
every time?
Hey, call me Mr. Jiffy because I lube.
Man.
You call me Mr. Jiffy because you gotta
using the lube.
You gonna have to lube him every time though.
So you got your little desert valleys.
Oh, I had a desert valley.
Yeah, I had a desert valley.
I had on the way to Vegas.
Right, it was like sandpaper.
That little, just little exit?
No, this is whatever you call it.
Man, listen, everybody don't have that wet.
They don't. Hey, if you got that wet, you are blessed. And I'm going to tell you that right now. But we still on this question. We still got other people
we're going to keep going.
Moving on down. So, I mean, I think we all got in some funky relationships. I don't know if I can speak for all single guys, but I liked crazy. For some reason, the crazier she was, the
man.
Was
like,
man, come okay, on, show. You got to come on the show.
Wait, I need you to say that one more time. We all love crazies. They all love crazy. Because they were trying to act like, we don't like that.
Crazy
we don't hate that.
Fire.
We don't attract that. Oh, is that what you say today?
Crazy be having fire.
Because y'all were trying to act like, no, that's not what we like. I don't like crazy.
But that's single life. This is single wife. I don't want a crazy wife. I want a crazy
girl. You want a crazy girl?
You
want her
to be a little crazy, though. In a, sure. Where she needs to be.
We used to call him Fatal.
Ooh,
yes.
Fatal.
Okay, wait.
Like, kill me, but give me Mark and Marvin, bring me back.
Yeah.
Kill me, but give me.
We know you like crazy.
And then bring me back.
Yeah.
You like that
That's
shit.
It. Because I'm crazy too sometimes. Mm. Crazy too. I'm a little.
Child,
a little toxic.
You telling the truth today.
Just a little toxic. You know?
Toxicity.
Okay, I'm going to
What about you, Dusty's?
I definitely stayed. I stayed because it was fire.
Because of the sex.
I was young. She was
dumb and full of cum.
Young, dumb, and full of cum. And she looked fire, and it was fire. I wasn't going nowhere. It wasn't going nowhere.
So what made you leave?
It just fizzled out. It just fizzled out. It was one of them things where it just.
She just let the fire go out itself.
Yeah.
Like the physical stuff didn't last forever.
Nah. After a while, I was just like, all right, what are we doing? We.
No more talks.
Let's just leave amicably. And then go on about our business.
What was that word?
Amicably.
Ooh, I like that.
You have the dictionary up on your phone. You get a daily word today.
Okay.
Ooh.
Okay.
I'll
tell
you.
Nick?
Yes, I definitely have.
Elaborate.
Okay.
We don't need you in the background, boy.
We need a dubosaurus.
Yes, I did.
Dubosaurus.
But, like I told you,
yes,
I stayed way too long before I was like, you know what, we gotta stop having sex.
Because it was a sex, right?
It wasn't just a sex because it was convenient. I was comfortable because I was being taken care of.
Hello.
Still holding my own down, but you know, that little extra two incomes is a mother.
Yeah.
Compared to one.
So two
incomes had me super comfortable.
Right, for sure.
And fading on out. And eventually I was like, you know what? Two incomes or not. So you know what I did?
What you
did? Let his ass go and I went and got me a second job. Two incomes. Here we go.
Damn. Damn.
Yeah.
Hello.
Out of here. Bye.
Power to the women.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Marv?
Hey, we already
best for last?
Hey, the best for last. We already know. Marv has been through it. And Nicole already told me, you already knew that motherfucker was going. I don't even know why you were sitting there wasting time. But guess what? Like I said, sometimes you gotta empty the clip.
Yeah.
I'm just so happy it's been a whole bunch of movies.
And I'm gonna be real. Like, yeah, I've been in a whole lot of shit that I can tell from the jump. But sometimes you just pray, you just hope that something will change.
Yeah.
You hope that they get older, they start. And the sad thing is, to be real with y'all, they change once you gone. That's the hardest.
They do.
They change their whole lifestyle.
This is what I found crazy is you men changing once you gone. Like, I learned my lesson. Oh, I done did this. Or you even have the ones that pull the, I'ma go to counseling.
Oh, God. Hey,
but you
I
think of
talk to my pastor. Oh. And my pastor had told me.
Think about it. Think about that last topic last time. Remember this thing. Women, for instance, you guys are all married, right?
Right.
Let's say you break up with your wife or whatever. So, well, this is wood, right?
Yes.
Everybody go ahead and knock on that real quick, please. Okay. So, you guys break up with your wife, whatever. You can tell, like I said, you tell her, okay, you know what, you're gaining weight. You might want to go ahead and go to the gym or whatever, right? As soon as it's
wait, over, what? You might want to go ahead and go to the gym.
Might want to go to the gym. A nice way of saying you're getting bigger. Okay, whatever. So
he telling her this.
He's telling her that. So she doesn't want to fix it. You know what? This is what you came in for. This is what you like. Look, you love me. You're here thick or thin or bigger than thin, whatever you want to call it. Right?
You're here for me
bigger,
thicker,
whatever,
right? Bigger or thinner.
Thicker or thinner. But you're not thinner.
That was supposed to be a metaphor though.
But listen, thicker, so thicker, thin, as thin. Soon as this relationship is over, you sign those papers. She's at 24 hour fitness.
Getting it right.
Or she's at
yeah. I'm doing what this you asked me to do. Mm-hmm.
And her body is ridiculous. You like, this is all I wanted you to fix in the first place.
First
and
of all, let's talk about a couple of you fellas that grow your bellies.
Hey, but y'all be saying that y'all ain't a little
ladies boy. Like the baller belly.
So now we bumping bellies.
We ain't bumping bellies. I'm going to sit there and I'm going to stop. I'm like this. I'm a wall now. You can't go nowhere, girl. Throw that thing. Where's it going to go?
But let's just remember that we do have men to put up with. I'm not going to do that with you. We're going to skip past that.
Where are you going to go?
We're going to skip past that. It's a man that put on some weight.
Yeah, of course.
And next thing you know, they looking like a damn Michelin man.
It's cool. Hey, you need your tires fixed?
The tires rotating.
You got to be rotating all four tires and balancing them motherfuckers.
Balanced. What you need them 35.7? We got it.
That's funny.
But anyway, man.
What's this? This one on you?
Come on.
I thought it was going to be time. What? So why is the relationship always at stake when the woman is not happy, Nicole? Because it's going to be on you. Most men threaten to end a relationship because of a disagreement.
Because you're all talking, I'm actions, I'm a problem?
Yes.
Well, you should be actions, maybe, instead of just being all talk.
Most women end relationships. The men we want.
No, exactly.
Exactly.
Listen,
we'll cheat before we break up with you.
Listen, I will say, I've had somebody
leave. We'll cheat before we break up with you.
I've been left before.
It's my nephew.
No, I have been left
before. Say it ain't so.
Say it ain't so.
He left you?
He came back, but he left.
No, it's cool. Hey, a lot of people daddies be doing that too. That's crazy.
Well,
no.
That's so disrespectful.
You struck a nerve on everybody.
Say sorry.
No, because if you're mad, you're going to have to take a shot.
Oh, shit.
Good thing my daddy didn't leave, but I've been left before.
Somebody left you.
I'm so happy that you have. I'm not going to lie.
Damn.
He said I was too argumentative.
Cold,
like,
you know what? He was not lying.
He's not lying. I've admitted to being argumentative.
Yeah, she has it. At least she's admitted to it.
I've admitted it, but he couldn't have this. So I was like, bye. I ain't going to try and beg you to stay. But because I said bye and let him go, he came back.
I get that.
So you just gonna let me go like that? Yeah.
You know why most dudes do that? Because we don't know how to express ourselves.
Well, that's your problem. I know how to express myself.
I mean, as women, you guys, that's why we die before y'all, because y'all empty y'all shit out.
Yeah, I'm not gonna help
we bottle everything in and just wither and
I'm
die.
I'm not doing it. If I feel it, I'm gonna have to tell you. Especially you, my person.
I was always wondering why.
I gotta let you know.
Yeah, that's what I mean.
No.
They get everything out. We don't.
They got 7 years on us, right?
For sure.
It's not easily. That we don't let everything out. It's just when we let it out, it don't matter.
No.
So why are we negative?
It does matter.
Why are you going to be like this? Okay, then you should have said that one. Okay, this
I feel like I feel like matter. It does I feel like matter. We're not. I feel like as men, we're not taught to do that. So when you become an adult, you don't know how to express yourself.
Almost like it's not a manly thing to do.
Yeah, that's why we become. Listen, some men become violent.
I know for my, that's for, all me, they know for me personally, when I do try to speak out, I suck at it, dude.
You know what?
My wife will be like, "It's how you deliver it." Yeah. And it's not that I do it on purpose. It's just like I'm so used to not saying anything that when I do, it just comes out like.
You should come to my family because we suck at delivery. No. You know what's everything that we say in my family gonna sound so bad. But we know, like, to know is just to know. Like, it moves me with the most love, but it's gonna come out like word vomit, and you're like, gonna wanna fucking kill yourself.
I don't raise my voice or I don't curse, but I guess it's just the way I deliver it. It's just, I don't know.
Come on in.
Nicole, tell them my nigga.
Which one?
They used to call me Amazon because I'm great with delivery.
No. Right? Wait, ain't nobody
so called you Amazon because I'm great with delivery.
Come on.
Hey, same day delivery.
Same day. Amazon Prime.
Oh, shit. Oh, man. So what you think about that, Craig? Why do you think women do that?
I think for me particularly, like when I get into it with my wife, like not like a big fight, but she thinks I'm more of a salesman. So if I am gonna express my feelings, she'll acknowledge it. Be like, "You're right, but you're so good at selling." So you know, then I think she kind of takes that negatively too. Like I know my side is better. I just don't know how to articulate it, which she probably is usually right. But I think she thinks I'm more of a salesman in the relationship, but. Yeah.
And not really being genuine and mean it.
I do. I think it usually comes from the heart, but she maybe takes it as a
it's the
as
delivery. It's literally the delivery. That's what it is. Because that's
so
what
you
I
real
get
smooth with your words is what it sounds like. Where it's like you selling me a smooth damn drink right now.
It's like I'm selling her tequila.
It's like she's trying to stack $1 to this wire.
That's funny, man. I just answered that. I ain't answering no more. It's almost that time, guys.
It is.
It's almost that
time. Well, look, we got 2 minutes left, and I want to thank everybody that's out there watching this lovely podcast. Make sure you tell a friend to what?
Subscribe to that YouTube. Subscribe. And we want to thank Mandala for coming on with us. As an American,
the only tequila that we drink. So if do me a favor. If you guys are drinking Mandala with us, if you guys drink Mandala, go ahead and put your shot glasses up.
Get your shot glasses up. Right.
Put your shot glasses up. And definitely, guess what? The You Feels Me store is back up. YouFeelsMe.com. Make sure that you guys get as much merch as you guys want. And how we end the show, of course, everybody go ahead and finish them cups.
Finish these cups, baby.
And thank you guys for all for watching.
And we out.
Let me have fresh air.